Hi, my name is Molly Hightower. I'm the Associate Children's Minister, and I have a couple kids with me today that are going to do the Bible reading from Acts chapter 4, 1 through 13. So, Grayson, here you go.
And as they were speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaimed in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they arrested them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who had heard the word believed, and the number of men came to about 5,000.
All right, now Megan's going to come read.
On the next day, the rulers and elders and scribes gathered together in Jerusalem with Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander, and all who were of the high priestly family. And when they had set them in the midst, they were inquired by what power or by what name did you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed?
Let it be known to all of you and all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, with whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished. And that's when they recognized they had been with Jesus.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we ask right now that you'd speak into our lives through your word, the inspired word of God that you've given to us, and this radical story in the early church. In your own heart right now, if there's something that's separating you from God, if there's something you've done that you're ashamed of, that you feel guilty about, I would invite you to confess to him your sin. Confess anything you've done to rebel or run from him. And then ask him to speak life into you today, to help you today through his word. Pray for me. Ask God to, through the Holy Spirit, communicate to the church today and to your life today. If you're not a believer in God and you're joining us, you're watching online right now, we just want to say we're so glad that you're joining us. I invite you to just say, "Hey, God, if you're there, help me sense that today on some level. Help me see you in a new way today." And God, I do pray for all people listening right now, and I ask that you'd allow me to be a conduit to them. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, church family, if you have a Bible, I want you to pick it up and turn with us to the book of Acts. We're walking through the first part of the book of Acts, and today we're going to be in Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. So if you have a Bible, find Acts chapter 4, and I'll tell you a little story. This is a picture of my youngest daughter, Ellie, who's 5 years old, and our new puppy, Aggie. And yes, our puppy's name is Aggie, and I did graduate from Baylor. But that's Aggie right there in her arms. Now, my daughter, all of her life, has been afraid of dogs. And whenever she's been around dogs, she's run from dogs. And when she runs from dogs, she runs to me, her dad. Now, after Aggie entered the house, it was that way for a little while. She spent time actually up on top of counters or chairs that Aggie couldn't get to because she didn't want to be on the floor with her. But over time, she got more acquainted with Aggie. This is actually a picture of her right now on a Zoom call with her incredible teachers at the Family Life, the Leadership Center over there, the FBLC, First Baptist Leadership Center, that so many kids have gone through, an outstanding program there. But she's on with her teachers right there, and she's hugging Aggie. Now, here's the story. A few days ago, she was on the floor with Aggie, and Aggie decided she was going to start playing with Ellie's hair. And so she started pulling at Ellie's hair, and Ellie panicked. She got afraid. She thought Aggie was eating her, basically. And she started screaming. I was in another room. She said, "Daddy, Daddy, Daddy." And I was like, "What?" Ellie from the other room. She said, "Daddy, Daddy." So I go into the other room, and she runs to me and jumps into my arms. Why? Because she was afraid of Aggie. But immediately, when she got in my arms, something happened. Like there was a switch that went off. And she moved from being afraid of Aggie to being very bold in her response to Aggie. Like she jumps into my arms, "Daddy, Daddy," jumps into my arms, and then turns around after getting into my arms and points down at Aggie and yelled at her, "Aggie, don't do that." And I remember watching this exchange from fear to courage. Watching this exchange from really her being very afraid of Aggie to her being very bold with Aggie. And it made me think about what we're going to see today in our text. Now, before we get to the text, I don't know where you are right now in life, but I talk to a whole lot of people that are afraid right now. People that are afraid, students that are afraid maybe that class isn't going to happen in a month, and they're not going to be able to get back together with their friends. I talk to dads that are afraid that what's going on in the economy right now is going to affect their family, and maybe they're going to lose their job, or if they've already lost their job, they're not going to be able to get a job. People that are afraid right now of the virus and that they're going to get the virus or they're going to give the virus to someone in their family that's at risk. There are a lot of people right now that are afraid. How do we as Christians live with boldness? Boldness is a theme in the book of Acts. And in chapter 4, it's a primary theme. In the text that we just heard read over us, we read, "Now when they saw the," what's the word? Boldness. Your text or your translation may use the word courage there. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated common men, they were astonished and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. Skip with me to verse 29. "And now, Lord," the church is praying together. They're praying, "Watch, now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all," what's the word? "Boldness," or your translation again, courage. And then finally, verse 31, "And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with all boldness." Y'all see it? All right, so Christian boldness. I want to answer Two questions today: where it comes from and what it looks like. Christian boldness, where it comes from and what it looks like. First one, where it comes from. Where does boldness come from? Well, we'll talk first about where it doesn't come from. Christian boldness does not come from the absence of fear. Why? Okay, let me catch you up on the story that we're part of here in the book of Acts chapter 4. Last week, we read in chapter 3 that after the church started, they weren't just meeting in their homes and devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. That's not all that they were doing. They were also leaving their homes and they were engaged in their community. They were going to the temple to worship. Peter and John went to pray. They meet a lame man on the way. He stuck out his palm. He asked for an alms. And here's what Peter said. He said, "Silver and gold have I none." I have someone describe the story this way. It's a man who is broken asking two broke men to fix him. He stuck out his palm. He asked for an alms. And here's what Peter said. "Silver and gold I have none. But what I have, I'm going to give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And so God, through the lives of his followers, in a supernatural way, met a need in the life of this lame man. And he went walking and leaping and praising God. Now, Peter then gets up and he recognizes that people are paying attention, but he says, "Hey, don't look at us." He's not using this supernatural meeting of the need to point attention to himself. He says that this miracle is to point us to a message, and that message is Jesus. And then he talks about how awesome Jesus is. He shows them that actually the message is actually better than the miracle. This is where we were last week, that we have complete forgiveness because Jesus coming to die on the cross for our sins. And then God wants to, through Jesus, give us right now in our lives spiritual refreshment. And then he's going to come again. Jesus is going to come again, and he's going to restore all things. He's going to make all things new again. This is the message that the miracle should point us to. Now, the beginning of chapter 4, something happens. And again, we just heard this read over us. But the religious leaders, specifically the Sadducees, and others that were part of the religious council, they approach Peter and John and they put them in prison. They were upset about the message they were bringing. The Sadducees did not believe in resurrection at all, period. Some say that's why they were sad, you see. Yes, you can make a comment on the thread if you are agonizing over that right now. The Sadducees put Peter and John in prison. And so they now, they're in jail overnight, and then they bring them in front of this religious court to try them. And in front of this religious court, being accused of being really followers of Jesus, they stand in front of all of them and they say, "Hey, there's no other name under heaven by which we must be saved, Jesus." Now you might think, well, they should not right now have boldness. Why? Well, they've just been put in jail. The last Christian to be put in jail overnight and tried for his faith was Jesus. You know what happened after Jesus' trial? Jesus was hung on the cross. He was tortured and killed. And so if there's any time at any point to be afraid, it would be right now. They're in front of these same religious leaders. They've been put in prison overnight. Now they're being tried for their faith. If there's any time to be afraid, it should be now. Christian boldness, the boldness that they're going to demonstrate, does not come from an absence of fear, or you could say it this way, an absence of a circumstance or circumstances that would drive fear. Instead, we're going to see Christian boldness comes not from an absence of fear, but a presence of something else. Let's go back to our text now. Verse 13. "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated common men," which is the kind of people that God uses, normal people like you and me, "they were astonished and they recognized everything's going well in their life right now." Is that what they recognized? No, they recognized that they had been with, key preposition here in our text, with Jesus. All right, Christian boldness does not come from the absence of fear, but from the presence of God. I want to show it to you in the story. They recognize this boldness. They recognize that they had been with Jesus. They were with Jesus. Keep going, verse 14. But seeing the man, the one who was lame that they had healed, who was healed, standing beside them, they had nothing to say in opposition. But when they had commanded them to leave the council, they conferred with one another. Keep going with me. Saying, what shall we do with these men? For that a notable sign has been performed through them is evident to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But in order that it may spread no further among the people, let us warn them to speak no more to anyone in his name. So they called them and charged them not to spread or teach at all in the name of Jesus. Again, they're threatening them. If there's any situation where they should be afraid right now, these people who have just demonstrated that they have the authority to get a group to rile together and crucify people, situational, are they going to be afraid? Let's see what they said. But Peter and John answered them, whether it's right in the sight of God, okay, they have been spending time with God, to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge, for we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. You know what they're talking about? They're talking about things that they have heard from God. They have spent time in the presence of God. They've heard from God. Now, they were with Jesus here on earth, and Jesus said that you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you're going to be my witnesses. They had spent time listening to him. Can we do the same? Yes, we can. We can spend time in the presence of God listening to his word. They were very bold because they had gotten time with God, listening to God, and they make this phenomenal statement. Whether it's right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. I think in your life right now, you're going to live afraid. If all you're listening to is the news, if the company you're keeping is always speaking into you things that will drive fear, you need to be spending time listening to God. They were. And when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way to punish them because of the people, for all were praising God for what had happened. For the man on whom this sign of healing was performed was more than 40 years old. Translation here, he was a spring chicken. The future of his life was still way ahead of, right? No, he's actually saying he was an old guy. I like to think. Anyway, verse 23. But when they were released, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. This is what they did. They go to those that were other believers. They tell them what happened. And when they heard it, you know what they did? They went to talk to other religious leaders. Is that what they did? No, they started spending more time in the presence of God. Not just listening to God, but now they're going to talk to God. They're going to spend time in prayer with God. And the result of their prayer is actually going to be increased boldness, increased courage in their life in a time that should be driving fear. Watch. They lifted their voice together to God in his presence and said, Sovereign Lord. It's one word in the original language. It only shows up 10 times in the Greek New Testament. It's the word for Lord that says this is the one who's in charge of all things. Sovereign Lord. Who made, the one who created everything, made the heavens and earth and the sea and everything in them. Who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said, again, they've heard the words that he's said. They've spent time listening to the word of God. Said, by the Holy Spirit, we read these words this week in our Bible reading plan. If you want to jump in on that, you can. firstmckinney.com/Bible. This is Psalms chapter 2, a messianic psalm. Why did the Gentiles rage and the people's plot, try to make plans as if they can control things? They're not sovereign. Plot in vain. The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. Why would people do that, knowing that God is the one who is in charge? For truly in this city, there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel. Y'all see, they're completely aware right now of the things that are going on in their lives that should be driving fear. That their cultural moment is worse than COVID. Can you see that? They just killed Jesus for what he believed. And they're fully aware of this. But they realize they're spending time with the one who's in control of all things. To do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. God, you're in control of all things. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all, what's the word again? Boldness and courage. While you stretch out your hand to heal and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. And when they had prayed, again, what were they doing? They're spending time in the presence of God. They had listened to God. They even in their talking to God were repeating words they had heard from God. They prayed, spending time with God. And the place in which they were gathered together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with, what's the word again? Boldness, courage, boldness, courage. Why? Well, there's this withness, this preposition again, this withness of the Holy Spirit that is driving boldness in their lives. Okay, Christian boldness, where it comes from. Christian boldness does not come from the absence of fear. And we see it in the book of Acts over and over and over again, but from the presence of God. Now, this is all over the Bible. It's all over the Bible. This week in our Bible reading plan, we read in Joshua chapter 1, 4 different times, be strong and courageous. What? Courageous. Courageous. Okay, what some of the English translations translate the word boldness in our text as. Be strong and courageous. Why? For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Withness of God should drive the boldness in our life. Spending time in his presence. Time with the one who's above our circumstances. The one who's in control of our circumstances. Hearing his word and talking back to him in prayer. Asking him to work in our lives. That's what drives the boldness in our lives. Again, it's all of the Bible. Psalms chapter 23, right? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me. Jesus, even in the Great Commission that drives our church, Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples. He knows there's going to be conflict? Yes, he knows there's going to be conflict. But he says at the end, and lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the earth. Christian boldness, Christian courage does not come from the absence of fear, but from the presence of God, the presence of God. So back here to my story with Ellie. Ellie is afraid of Aggie at times until she gets in my arms. Now, not trying to make much of myself here. Just hear this. She knows that I'm bigger than Aggie. And so when she's in my arms, she's bold. Are you prioritizing time right now in the presence of God? If your life right now is paralyzed by fear, if your life right now is paralyzed by fear of circumstances, maybe it's not because you're not spending time with the one who's above the circumstances. Prioritize it. Prioritize it with me. All right, let's continue. My headset's popping off, so I'm putting it back on. Here we go. Where it comes from, now let's talk about what it looks like. As we go into talking about what it looks like, I want to talk about what it doesn't look like first. It does not look like brashness. This is just a definition I pulled online for this talk. This is a definition of brashness. Brashness is being self-assertive in a rude, noisy, or overbearing way. Why do I bring this up? Because it grieves me right now that I see many Christians in our culture being brash in saying that this is Christian boldness. Brashness is being self-assertive in a rude, noisy, or overbearing way. Christians are never to do that. Let me just show you a few texts from the New Testament. Justin pointed me to some of these this week in our sermon feedback team. But Christians are never to be brash. Here's a few texts. 1 Peter chapter 3, 15. Always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks for a reason for the hope that is in you, which is what happens in our text. They ask Peter and John, where did this power come from? Yet, do it with gentleness and respect. Let your speech, it's Colossians chapter 4, let your speech always be, what's the word? Gracious, seasoned with salt that makes it attractive to the person who is going to receive it, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. Is this the way right now that you are standing up, or you are saying, or you are posting on social media right now your opinions? Here's another passage, 2 Timothy chapter 2. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness. Y'all see it? Here it is in the positive, Ephesians chapter 4. Let no corrupt talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for the building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. What does it look like to be bold? Well, it does not look like brashness. In this story, Peter and John had done something very good. They had healed a lame man, and they were put in jail because of their boldness talking about Jesus. Now, when they appear before the council the next day, they don't, in front of the council, defend themselves. They don't say, well, here's what we were doing, or you should see things our way. That's not what they do. They don't attack the corrupt religious system that's going on at that point in time. Say, Pharisees, Sadducees, y'all, they don't attack the messed up Roman government. That's not what they do. You know what they do? They're bold. And here's what boldness looks like in this passage, and I think we're going to see it throughout the book of Acts. They're Christ assertive, not self assertive. They're Christ assertive in a graceful, clear, and powerful, unapologetic way. This is what Christian boldness looks like. Christ assertive, Jesus. Not afraid, not backing away in any way, not apologetic about who he is and what he has done, but bringing it to the forefront. And saying, hey, Jesus, this is what boldness is. They continue, it says at the end, to speak the word of the name of Jesus with boldness. Christ assertive in graceful, clear, and powerful way. Let's go back to the text. I want you to see it. I didn't read these words to you, but we heard them read before I got up to preach. And when they had set them in the midst, they inquired, by what power or by what name did you do this? And again, Peter and John are going to be like, hey, what are y'all doing? Watch what they're going to do. They're going to point to Jesus is what they're going to do. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, again, the withness of God, the presence of God is where you get boldness. Filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, keep going, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of, what is it? Jesus Christ of Nazareth, getting as specific as they possibly can, who you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. He is talking again. He's quoting scripture. He spent time with God hearing God's word. He's saying this is the cornerstone, the one that our faith should be built on. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. He is saying boldly, Jesus. Is this divisive? Absolutely it is. Could some people take this offensively? Yes, the gospel is offensive. Does it require boldness to say Jesus is the only way to heaven? Yes, it requires boldness. And we are living in a culture right now. We're living in a culture where Christians are settling for brashness around personal, self-assertive opinions about things that even other Christians disagree with them on. And they're not being bold with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Church, I am praying, and I want you to pray with me, that we would be bold with the hope of the world. That we would be, there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Boldness. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated common men, they were astonished. And they recognized that they had been with, in his presence, Jesus. Boldness. Hey, this week in our life group, we were texted something from actually someone else who's leading a different life group in our church who used to be a missionary. And I want to read you this because after this was texted, they texted the text I was going to preach this week. So I've got to take a few names out. Hey fam, I'm going to not be able to give you the location either for protection. Hey fam, asking for prayers for the believers in this area where we used to live. The church we were involved with is being persecuted. Now, they went to that church in 2003 and there were 6 known Christians in the area. There are now some 40,000 known believers in Jesus that have heard the hope that Paul and Peter stood up for. The church is being persecuted. Several of my dad's closest friends are being held in prison. Sunday morning, police burst into their house church and arrested the group. The person's name is Pastor. Him and the elders are still in prison. In this country, it's illegal to worship Jesus or share your faith. They could be released with no charges or held forever and never seen again. Just depends on how the government is feeling today. His wife sent the video below, and I thought about showing you the video and then realized that could compromise their safety. As soon as they were arrested, many of the congregants went to the streets. Watch this boldness. After the pastors and elders of the church had been arrested for their faith, the congregants went to the streets and began to share their faith. Talk about Jesus. A group has gathered across the street from the prison and they've been praying and singing worship songs for 2 days now. His wife, her name, has asked that we pray for joy and that Christ would bless them in the midst of their persecution. And then he puts on the text, Acts 4, 27 through 31, which was the prayer of the church that we just read. That's boldness. Church, I'm grateful that we're living in a country right now That doesn't tell us we can't talk about Jesus. A lot of Christians right now have said that they feel like we're being persecuted for our faith. We're not being persecuted for our faith. The government right now is trying to limit gatherings. Okay, they're closing down bars before they're closing down churches. It's not about what we believe. We right now have an opportunity to be bold, to spend time with Jesus, to rise above our circumstances, and to go and bring the message of hope. Why? Because that's what boldness looks like. Boldness looks like not brashness, self-assertive in a rude, noisy, or overbearing way about things that even other Christians disagree with, but boldness, Christ-assertive in a graceful, clear, and powerful way. Are you ready to be bold? I'll tell you, for me, it scares me. It scares me a little bit. Are you acting brashly or boldly? I invite you, look back on your social media posts. I invite you, think back on the conversation, students, that you're having with your friends. Are your words brash right now, or are they bold? Here's another picture of Ellie and Aggie. We are trying right now to help her understand that Aggie needs to be trained. Aggie's actions are not going to be different grabbing her hair until we train her and we show her different. Why do I bring that up right now? Because I think there are a lot of Christians that are expecting the world to act different, and the world does not know Jesus. We need to be bold with the message. We need to jump in our daddy's arms, God's arms, trust that he's above the circumstances, and train them through the message of Jesus. Paul says to the church, to Titus, he says that it's grace that trains us to do good works. So here's our church strategy, and we have a whole lot of opportunities to do this right now. We have a whole lot of opportunities to meet needs in our community. Again, we pointed out last week that when Peter and John went to pray in the temple, there were probably a whole bunch of people that were in need, that were disabled there looking for alms. They healed one of them. Maybe for you, you're overwhelmed by all the needs around you, and you need to find one person that you can bless this week. Maybe there's someone in your class that students you know that everyone else has rejected, that does not have a friend, that you could reach out to this week and say, hey, I'm going to show love to that person. Maybe you can find out what favorite Sonic drink is and go drop it on their front porch. Meet the need in someone's life so that you can grow a relationship and share with the world the hope of the gospel. Are y'all with me in this, church? This is what churches do. This is what Christians do. They're bold with Jesus. Pray with me. God, I pray in the name of Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit, that we would be bold. That we would be bold with the hope of the gospel. God, protect me. Protect me. As I was studying this week, I realized and recognized in my life there have been times recently that I've said words that were self-assertive, rude words, that were overbearing words, expecting people to take my position instead of God, being bold with Jesus, being Christ-assertive, graceful and clear in a powerful way. Father, I pray for those in our church right now that are afraid. I pray that they would spend time with the one who's above the circumstances. They'd spend time listening to you, that they would prioritize time listening to you and talking to you and hearing what you have to say to them, asking you to speak into and to help them in their circumstances so that they can be bold. I ask these things in Jesus' name. We're going to transition right now into a time of remembering the good news that we want to be bold with, remembering what Jesus has done for us. So if you missed John pointing us to this earlier, I want to invite you right now as we sing, if you don't have it already and you're a believer, if you have others in your home that are believers, to get something that you can take communion with us with. I have some vitamin water right here and some Wheat Thins. And let's remember together the good news, Jesus, the name that there is no other name under heaven by which we must be saved, Jesus, as we sing these words together. So let's remember and sing.
For all my sin, your body.
Father, as we remember together, we gather right now as the body of Christ digitally all around our city, and even others joining us right now around the country and even around the world, remembering that you have washed our sin away. And Father, we want to be bold. We want to be bold followers of Jesus that never forget this and that help others to know this. I want to invite you with me, the body of Christ, broken for you. Do this in remembrance. The blood of Christ shed to cover your sin. Do this in remembrance. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, the one who's given us access by the power of the Holy Spirit, we praise you and we thank you for Jesus. We remember. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.